woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in him.
Well, and we're back to Scotch and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Weber on the board with his henchman, Jack Silverman. S&P futures up 6.25. They were up more. Dow futures up 63. NASDAQ futures up 31. We also have Mr. Kevin O'Neill. Evidently, this morning, the China pinned their yuan at 6.999, which is a lot higher, lower, I'm sorry, than people thought. So that's causing a little bit of consternation. And now we're talking about worldwide economy edges close to recession as trade fears spread. Central banks dumping money all over the place to try and save the world. I don't know that ever saves anything. Kevin, how are you?
Hey, I am doing fine.
Good, good.
Because the summer term is over and I got a few days off.
Good for you.
But I want to go back to the henchman. I am still conflicted here and I need some guidance. Is do I want to be a henchman or do I want to have henchmen?
You want to have henchmen, but you got to start by being one.
Yeah, I can see that. I because you just can't get the job without experience, right?
Right. You got to know what that means. By the way, did you listen to the show yesterday where I was trying to be Jackie Gleason with You Ask the Question with Matt Weber and Brendan regarding the shootings?
Was it in the last half hour? Because I missed the last half hour.
No, it was about those guys debating whether the definition should be four people shot, two killed as a mass shooting.
Yeah, you know what? I get the definition, and it's really fine because it gives us a really big number to discuss. But is that what you really think when you think mass shooting?
Well, so as usual, I'm ahead of Mr. Weber. Of course, he's not on the earphones; he can't hear me insulting him. I went to this thing I mentioned yesterday in the air that which I hadn't done, by the way, before the show, which I probably should have. There's something called Gun Violence Archive. It's like the Hey Jackass of Chicago, but for countrywide. And what Mr. Weber could do, which I did, which you could do, and all the listeners could do, not that you want to know any of this stuff, is you can actually filter your results by the amount of people in the incident. So there.
So there. So, is that even, no matter where you set the cutoff, if some gangster does a drive-by and takes out 10 people, is that a mass shooting?
Yes.
Yeah, it is, according to the definition. Is that what we are thinking about? Because that's a totally different kind of incident than someone going to Walmart and starting to just randomly shoot people.
I would say that, I don't
know. Even though there is a whole lot of randomness to a drive-by shooting, because there are always innocent people.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's reaching a point where it's not like whoever... The St. Valentine's Day massacre, they moved however many guys into a garage, lined them up, and shot them at the wall. There was no chance of any collateral damage, I'll use the term.
Yeah. And the reason I say this is not to diminish the seriousness of any of it, but more to the point where, unless we are able to grapple with the real facts, and the real circumstances almost on a case by case basis. And Lou put out tweeted something this morning about an article that, you know, kind of gave a balanced look at you know what the common denominators are of some of these mass shooters. Unless we do that, then you know solutions is just throwing darts.
I don't disagree, but here's my point on this is that I'm gonna accuse all of you and myself until I actually went and saw this stuff and forced myself to read it. We all have, maybe Mr. Weber worse, a serious case of collective amnesia regarding these things. They've become a blur. So I actually forced myself to look at this thing and read every line of the over 10 in the last... Kevin, I didn't remember 90% of these things. We're choosing to not remember them, especially, and I'm going to make this shot on purpose, especially if you're a serious gun nut, you don't want to remember them.
Well, or on the other hand, depending on the circumstances, it may be that they didn't get media coverage.
Maybe.
And you can ask yourself why. Was it just a local story? Well, all of these are local stories to an extent. But is it that, or did it not fit with the agenda, with the political agenda of the media outlet? And, I'm telling you, if you go, often enough, if you go turn on, and I do this. This is sort of like me, like you with the debt clock,
yep.
Where I try not to watch
yep.
any of this stuff. But every once in a while, I'll go say, let me toggle back and forth between MSNBC and Fox News, and it's like they live on two different planets
in
terms of what they do and don't cover, and it's all based on the agenda.
Well, I'm going to say that there's one man's opinion, so I'm editorializing here. I'm going to say that when I set the number to 10, now it could have been 8, I could have been 12. 10 seems like a number that if we went around the rest of the world, I'll take this bet, there weren't 5 the rest of the world all over the place. These things, as they hit my mind, if I'm reading them, I go, yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, I remember that one. But I have it totally filed in the, forget about that one. Whatever piece of that brain is. Listen to these. August 4th, Dayton, Ohio. 10 killed, 26 injured. August 3rd, El Paso, Texas. Now, these everybody remembers are a few days ago. 22 killed, 24 injured. Gilroy, California, July 28th. 4 killed, 13 injured. Brooklyn, New York. I didn't even hear about this one. July 27th. 1 killed, 11 injured. In South Bend, Indiana. 1 killed, 10 injured. What the hell was that, Kevin? That was June 23rd.
Yeah, I don't remember the details of it, other than it was a gang related, I believe.
May 31st, Virginia Beach, 13 killed, 5 wounded. February 15th, Aurora, Illinois. We remember that one was here. 6 killed, 6 wounded. That's a piker compared to some of these. Thousand Oaks, California, 13 killed, only 2 wounded, and patched those people up pretty good. Pittsburgh, 11 killed, 7. I mean, you run down this. Here's a Pompano Beach, Florida, Parkland, 17 killed, 17 wounded. Santa Fe, Texas, I don't remember this one. 10 killed, 13 wounded. Trenton, New Jersey, 1 killed, 9. This is in June, May, February, January. I mean, they're one after another, for God's sake. Here, of course, Las Vegas, 59 killed, 441 wounded. I'd forgotten all about how big those numbers were. There's Bridgeport, Connecticut, last August, 0 killed, 13 wounded. Rona, I mean, there's got to be 35 of them over 10. I mean, it's like, no matter where, no matter how you look at this, no matter how you filter it, we're all trying to forget them as fast as we can, but they're right here.
Well, I hear you, Tom, and I'm not, again, it, you know, but let's then start to dig into the circumstances, because how you deal with the ones that are gang and drug related are very, very different from the ones where you deal with, you know, how you deal with the disaffected people.
I'm going to guess at the 4 level, you're going to catch a Chicago guy hurling bullets at 2 gang members, hitting those 2 guys, hitting 2 people on the porch, which is what you and Maddie are trying to filter out. I don't think at the 10 level there's any of those. If there might be 1 or 2, but I don't. I mean, like you said, the one in South Bend might have been, but at the 10 level, I think you're talking about what you guys are talking about.
Right. Now, if you go back to that original definition that we were working with,
Before,
20 of those were gang or drug-related in the city of Chicago alone.
Right.
You know, and then 9 in Baltimore and so on. So by the time, as you start to tally up some of this stuff, I haven't done all of the research on this, so I'm not going to pretend to have an answer here, but until we start to really dig into the data and start to really understand what's happening, solutions are just meaningless. You know, they're just show horses. If you go and mention the article that Lou tweeted, it's by a criminology professor did a study, and they found 4 things that were common denominators: childhood trauma by the mass shooters. Everyone had reached a crisis point in the weeks or months leading up to the shooting. Third, most of the shooters had studied the actions of others, and so they prepared it. And fourth, the shooters had all the means to carry out the plans. Now, if you can take that same thing, and then you can go to Japan, where the guns are more controlled, and instead you have a guy who did a studio arson and took out 33 people, he did the same thing. He did an explosive, and he planned it just the same way that people plan some of the other ones.
But you're
so
not going to get,
how are you going to deal with that? Starts to become an issue.
You're not going to get, in my opinion,
getting Congress back to do something this week ain't going to cut it.
No, but getting we have, and I've talked about it. Tried to, and I'm sure people don't put two and two together because I'm not so sure I do a very good job of it. But the we have a serious amount of economic problems in this country that are affecting certain people. Whole classes of society have not participated in whatever this boom is that whoever is in office talks about. I mean, Obama wasn't as bad as Trump about telling what a good job he was doing, but he was not shy about it either. The fact is, we're leaving an awful lot of people behind, an awful lot, and it makes it worse when everybody keeps telling them how well everybody else is doing, because then it affects not just your manhood these days, but your ladyhood, your ego. You have people that have all kinds of the drug problems on top of that is huge. Which all we had to listen to Dr. Johnson tell us about that, or not even him. We didn't know, and he confirms it. And we have a ready availability of weapons that people in war only have had in the last 15 years, which is insane.
Yeah, and I actually will dispute that with you.
What, it was more than 15 years?
No, you can't. People keep referring, putting AK-47s and AR-15s in the same class. One is a semi-automatic rifle. The other is an automatic rifle.
But somehow the guys that do this manage to get it fixed and end up with a, I don't know if it's a 50-shot load or whatever it is. Somehow or another, guys are walking in pretty damn well armed. I mean, a guy in World War I would have given his right arm for one of those things.
Right. So they're either in with an AK-47, then they've acquired the gun illegally. If the shooter is in with an AR-15, then more than likely it was acquired legally, and in fact there is some evidence that a lot of it have been taken from other family members.
Okay, well, but what I'm saying is the those three things coming together to me is pretty darn dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
Not to mention if they're mentally screwed up to start with.
Yeah.
But even yesterday or on Monday we were having a discussion with Audrey and Stephanie, that even if somebody, I knew all kinds of people on the trading floor, when there were trading floors and people were making a good living, there were people, in the booths and guys who were doing stock clerks and people like that that were making 50, 60 grand a year, and all of a sudden all that, an entire thing is gone. I knew guys that married somebody, and I'm not putting this on, I mean, people marry what they think they're marrying, and they're talking about a guy making a lot of money and vacations and be able to take some days off, and all of a sudden 5 years later, the guy has not really that much education. He's not going to, even if he went and got a really good job, he's going to reinvent himself at 85 grand a year, not at 300 a year. and the wife's never worked in her life, never wants to, and all of a sudden I didn't sign up for this. I mean, things can go bad real quickly. So it's not just if you walk in today and there's everything right with you, and you buy yourself an arsenal. I don't know why that guy would do that, I don't know, but somebody does. People just love guns. It might not be the same guy 10 years from now, Kevin. I mean, and you're not going to do this yearly. Check somebody out once they've got them, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, we have serious issues, but the idea somewhere along the line.
Although, again, going back to the research, the planning is not years in the making in general.
No. But what I'm saying is...
So you're not talking about someone who got a bump stock back when they were allowed.
I'm going to start this conversation, and we're not going to solve it today because we're going to talk a little about the market. But there's at least two different ways of dealing with crime and punishment in this world. There's a lot of stuff in the middle. We, the Americans, U.S. people... have always felt that, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty. I agree with that, you know, for sure. I would fight to keep that. There's a lot of stuff, but we have managed to go so far overboard with law enforcement, in my opinion, basically begging out in a lot of areas. We've gotten to the point now where the rights of the people messing with people are more than the rights of other people not to get messed with. We've crossed into that area dramatically. And if you go into, and I don't want to live in Singapore, I don't want to, you know, live in Saudi Arabia where they hack your hand off if you steal out of somebody's car, but I also wouldn't mind living in a place where you could leave your car window open without somebody grabbing your crap out of the car. So I don't know where the middle ground is in here, Kevin.
Yeah, it's like when I first moved to St. Joe in the 90s, they used to laugh at me as a Chicagoan because I locked my doors.
Yeah, but I mean, there's somewhere along the line, I drive through Englewood, and I see real people. I see real people trying to make a home there, and their daughter or son can't walk down to the corner. That would never happen. And yet here we think that's okay. And we actually have people in Chicago that somehow feel, and I know that the lack of the right attorneys and lack of education, I know that predisposes people to having a wrong life. And I'd love to change all that, Kevin. But once somebody gets to 12 or 13, or even 9 or 8, or age of reason when you're 7, you start shooting people. I don't know that there's a whole lot of... It's not my fault that guy's shooting somebody. And we're reaching that stage here where we've got the idea that if it just would have been a little better family situation, a little more, if the school would have given them a better lunch, somehow or another, it's our fault. No, it's not. When you reach that age, if you're pulling the trigger, you're too dangerous to be around other people at that point, and you can't be. And if you're rehabable, fine, but I don't know what the percentages of that really are. If somebody's capable of launching a bullet at somebody at age 12 without any sort of, like, I think people who love to kill animals when they were younger, you know what? They're still asses. I don't think that ever changes, Kevin. I don't.
Yeah, and I can salute that. I think that, you know, the thing, and we can be compassionate about it because I don't think there's anything sadder than the way some kids grow up, whether they're abused children or whether they're just beaten down, told that you're never going to amount to anything, that you're wasting your time with school, and all of those things happen to far too many kids.
Right.
And so by the time you get them to young adulthood, they are just not prepared to cope with anything. Yes, there is a huge dynamic here involved. There are a lot of things at play, and it makes it all the more infuriating that the solutions are proposed that won't help or aren't likely to help. Totally ignore some of the bigger issues, and you know what? We can't afford to address some of those issues because we piss away our money on everything else.
Right. Well, and we also have, to be perfectly blunt, I would think if we dropped, but the thing of it is, in this world, who do you even trust to do the investigations? These people that are selling all these drugs and doing all this stuff in this bad neighborhood, they're not doing it without the blessing of some people in power. Obviously, the money is getting spread
often
around.
Often in political power.
Yeah. I mean, the money's getting spread around. So it's, there's no question in my mind that some significant percentage of your, even the link cards of your welfare checks are going for drugs. Now somehow we got to stop that. I mean, it's one thing to help somebody out. I don't want anybody feeding a drug lord with my dough.
And you know what? The technology isn't difficult.
Right.
So it's merely a lack of will to do that.
I would agree. And I'm sure it would squeeze out somewhere that somebody would get their welfare check and spend that on the thing they're sort of supposed to. And somehow if they would, you know, maybe they have a cash, doing anything for cash on the other side, and that's, I mean, it would squeeze out. People are pretty clever. I mean, I get that part, but I mean, we have no will, and yet we continue to have this countrywide entertainment about politics, fighting back and forth about people. I mean, it's almost like we got a disease, Kevin. I go over to the club, I got on a bike, and I watch the sporting shows in the afternoon. Nobody talks about basketball or football or baseball. If it's basketball, this guy is dissing this guy. This guy doesn't like that guy. Will LeBron play with this guy? Does this guy want to play with Kevin? Does this guy want to play? Who gives a bleep? It's a basketball team. You get on there, you're supposed to play. You're getting paid a lot of money. Yet, but the entertainment of whether this guy likes that guy, this guy, and this guy's girlfriend, who cares, Kevin? I mean, is this really the opiate of the people? What is this?
Yeah, it is. It is the opiate of the people, and it's a damn shame. It's sort of everything's a reality TV show.
We're talking about people. I mean, I'm sure there's some very bright people that play basketball, but most of them, I could care less about their opinion, and I'm sure they could care less about mine. Why do I? I mean, this whole thing is getting totally out of control. I think it's out of control. I don't think anybody should stop it because that would be censorship. But I wonder how people can actually care about this.
Wouldn't it be nice to sort of circle back on this and say, what if we had some really, really great leadership front and center in this country? What if we had someone where, you know, you really could look and say, not only am I willing to follow that person, or not only am I willing to, do I like the policies, but I really admire that person. And I really, I think that president has a moral leg, can stand on a moral leg there and inspire people to be great. We don't have that though. So.
Well, I don't think anybody like that would want the process.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I mean, I'll say somewhat intellectually, the spread between the skill set to get the job, to get elected, and to actually do the job properly and have people believe that you're doing the job properly has probably never been wider. I mean, I don't see, looking back in history, no friggin' way does Franklin Roosevelt become president in a wheelchair. Lincoln, which could have been one of the most unattractive men ever in life because he had that gargantuan disease or whatever, does not become president today. George Washington, maybe. And without those three guys, I'm not so sure.
Not with those teeth.
Yeah, well, I mean, nobody had good teeth in those days. But, I mean, without those three guys, I don't know that we were here in the way we are.
I don't know who that person is. I do know that there is a lot of irresponsible commentary in leadership. It's the president. It's the Democratic candidates. It's even people like, Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough sitting on their show saying, the president wants this. He wants this kind of violence. He's trying to stir it. Well, you know what? Yeah, own that next time when someone makes an assassination attempt.
Yeah, I don't think you could ever put in somebody's mind that they want somebody else dead. How would you ever know that? However,
yeah, well,
I will say this though.
Give me the morning news show, and yeah. I can spread that one.
I will say this on a morning news show or podcast. I will say this, Kevin. If ever there was an opportunity for two people in government or two groups of people in two governments to make a fortune, I've never seen anything like it like this week. Where the the president comes out and tweets, and then about this tariff thing, and how we're down almost $1,000 Dow points, and that night where it was 100 spoo points, and that night we're down some more, and the Chinese guys go up and say, we'll do what you want us to do, even though they're not really, and we spin back the 100. If there wasn't some kind of a deal between those two people, let's just say there was an opportunity for some nefarious action there. I've never seen that, Kevin, ever. I've seen it.
Why weren't you in on that, Tom?
Now, that's a good question. Now, if we'd have been in on it, would we have considered it wrong?
that's a good question.
Yeah. SP futures up 7.25, Dow futures up 60, NASDAQ futures up 34. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks. Jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now. Right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Matt Weber and Jack Silverman both on the board. We have Mr. Kevin O'Neill here as a co-host. SP Futures up 5.25. They were up more than that earlier. NASDAQ Futures up 24, Dow only up 32 now. But still up in individual stocks and the Dow moving, not that much really. Goldman Sachs just taking kind of a bath this week. Not so sure if we could have read through the details there, or the details. Kevin talks whether or not they're involved in Deutsche Bank or one of these Chinese banks going under. I'm not going to speculate on that, but the stock has not been too healthy lately. Around the rest of the world, over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 148, 1.2%, so they're coming back. They weren't up as much as we were yesterday because we kept going up later in the afternoon. FTSE up 59.8%, CAC around up 73, 1.4%. So rallies there pretty much across the board. Not so much over in Asia, though. Nikkei up, down 68.3%. Shanghai very muted, only down 8.3%. Hang Seng up 20, so let's call that one flat. Oil down 33 cents, 53.30. Haven't seen it that low in a while. I heard some gas prices this morning, like 2.75. That'd be something. The Suburban needs a long drink this weekend. Brent down 36, 58 bucks. Natural gas 2.13. RBOB 167. That's a long way from the 198 of not very long ago. Gold up 20 bucks over 15.04. Wow. Silver up 45 cents, 16.89. I could tell everybody that I was right. I knew it all along on this gold, except everybody who's a listener to the show knows that it took me 2.5 years to get this rally, so I can't say that I could have waited like a long time, bought other stuff, and then put it in gold. But
still enjoying it.
Still enjoying it, yeah. Hey, what do you got for us, Trevi, Weather Sports?
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. The Sports Weather Traffic Update is brought to you by Luckbox Magazine. The Guide to Money and Probability is available on newsstands for $7.99 per issue. Stocks and Jocks listeners receive a free digital subscription at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. We already have a crash on the inbound Dan Ryan Chief down on the south side, blocking the two right lanes. It's the express lanes just before 63rd Street. So that's causing some delays coming in on the Ryan, so keep that in mind. No issues on I-57 or the Bishop Ford. Stevenson and Eisenhower, traffic building, but no accidents to report. Same for the Edens and Kennedy. Suburban tollways are all quiet, so we're off to a pretty good start outside of that issue on the Ryan Express lanes at 63rd. Weather today, we warm back up today. Sunshine, hot, humid, a high of 88 degrees. The wind's coming in from the west, so no cool breeze either. It's going to be our hottest day of the week, but still not terrible. Right now it's sunny and 70 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 105 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 89. In sports, Cubs gave up an 8-run second inning. John Lester didn't have it. They fell behind 11-0, scored 4 late meaningless runs, and were routed by the A's 11-4 at Wrigley last night. Before the game, Brandon Kinsler was announced to head to the IL with a pectoral issue. Pedro Strop was reactivated. So the Cubs are pretty beat up right now. They have Kimbrel on the DL, or IL, Kinsler on the IL, Contreras out for a month. Strop is back, but they don't want to use him. And then you have Wilson, or what's his name, the backup catcher, Victor Caratini, leaves the game last night with left hand soreness. So Kyle Schwarber actually caught late in that game last night, which he hasn't caught in a big league game since 2017.
But he's stiff this morning.
Yeah, so the Cubs are pretty banged up right now. Luckily, the Cardinals have dropped 4 in a row. They lost again last night, so the Cubs remain 2.5 up on St. Louis in the division. White Sox played a doubleheader in Detroit. It was a split the day-night doubleheader. They won game one in the afternoon, 5-3 over the Tigers, and then were blown out last night, 10-6. So the Sox split that one. Diamondbacks beat the Phillies, 8-4. Chief.
I was doing some errands yesterday and ran into some people last night, and at least two occasions, out of all the stuff I think that people talk about, on financial TV and everything. And again, I sympathize because this was my worst course for a while in college, was international economics. I had two or three people, and they all were attorneys, all were, you know, had advanced degrees. They said, all right, Chief, what the hell are they talking about with this currency manipulation and so forth? And I was explaining it to them, and everybody's like, really? Really? you know, and I don't know whether people are disingenuous just in, by, but I would hope, Kevin, that when you talk about people that, you know, we don't necessarily have to have everybody go to college, and I get that part. But that doesn't mean that the knowledge that some people enjoyed getting there, like you and I, isn't invaluable on some level. I mean, I really would hope that most of the people in the country here, and I, this might be more of a hope than a reality, would understand that when you have a president, and again, we've got other guys like him, he's not the first person, so I'm not, but just it's recent. Came out.
Yeah, be careful, Tom, because, you know, some people are pretty stupid, and they will think that if you equivocate on that, then you're supporting him.
Well, I mean, I've supported a lot of stuff he's done. Well, he's not been all bad.
God. Oh, how could you say such a thing? Okay, go on.
But, I mean, when somebody comes out and basically reams their Fed chair four times a day for a week about how he needs to cut rates half a point at least because the dollar's way too high, and how he's the worst man he ever put in the job, and how what a mistake that was, even though it was only like a year ago he put him in there, and he's his pick. And if you've listened to that, cut rates so the dollar goes down, and then the next week he accuses the Chinese of manipulating their currency, I would hope most citizens would say, what the, say what?
You almost said it.
Say what? What the bleep? I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, it is incredible that it's like, I don't know, if somebody, when you talk about manipulating rates, it's almost like if you really like somebody, he's careful, and if you don't, he's cheap, right? It's a definition of, if we do it, it's okay. If somebody else does it, God, these dirty manipulators. Everybody, to a certain extent. I mean, why do you think that the Germans, the Eurodollar, the European Central Bank, is throwing so much money out there? Because when you throw money, it all comes down to supply and demand. This whole thing, there's an understanding of this that finally you sort of get after many, many years of school and reading, and you know, you just kind of wake up to the fact that there's a connection to all this stuff. When you pour whatever your money is, euro, dollar, pound, Swiss franc, dollar, yuan, when you pour it into the society and to make more of it, to pump up inflation, whatever you're doing, that particular currency is now worth less on an individual basis against somebody else's currency that stays even. All right? It's just the way the world is. So if you do that, now the same person is going to say, well, you idiots just printed 10% more euro dollars. So for my dollar, I want to buy, whenever I bring you my dollar in exchange for euro dollars, I'm going to want 10% more, because you idiots just devalued it by 10%, basically, by putting them out there. Okay, so now what is it? What happens there? The regular German guy, just like the regular U.S. guy sitting in Chicago, he doesn't really care necessarily about, they care more than we do because the country's not as big, but they don't really care about their particular euro dollar in relation to ours. So if they can sell more Mercedes because they're now more competitive to Cadillacs, they're fine with that. And if they get on a plane and come over to Chicago and go in and get a beer and realize that the beer is 10% more and their actual wealth is 10% less on the world stage, guess what? They just won't come to Chicago. It's not that, unless it goes over the top, these 5, 10, 15% moves don't really affect you in the middle of a country somewhere. Now, if you're a country that is small and every day your people are leaving to go other places, it affects you a lot. So okay, now they've done that. All right, now they've dropped their currency. So then we're going to say, well, we got to do the same thing, because guess what? Now our Cadillac guy's bitching because Cadillac is more expensive in relation to the Mercedes. So we drop ours. But at the end of the day, all your currencies are just valued against something else. That's why when you look at gold, there's nothing happens to gold. It's a fixed commodity. I mean, they're still mining it, but not very much of it on a daily basis. So I mean, in 1 year, what do you get? 100% of the gold supply goes up, or not even that. So when you look at, it's very hard to say, okay, well, gold went up today in terms of the dollar, but the dollar might have gone down in terms of the yen. So if you own yen, gold might actually have gone down. But these are very difficult relations to put together, and it take a long time. Well, what we don't need is people that are elected officials, for lack of a better term, the hired help, running out and being disingenuous to people they know don't understand what the hell they're talking about. Now, you can go out and talk about battleships or destroyers or something. I've never been on one. You could tell me that this one is the best one in the world. The thing may not even run. I would never know that, but this is my area, okay, because I've forced myself to learn this stuff. There's other areas where people understand what these guys are talking about, and I don't. So, I mean, it's not like I'm pulling rank on everybody here. I'm just saying this is my wheelhouse, and to a certain extent. And I don't like these people lying to me and essentially, when the stuff becomes even worse, Kevin, when it becomes eminently tradable. We're talking about 100 spook points. This stuff's tradable. I mean, if anybody knew over in China before maybe it's not for us, but you can't tell me that somebody in China didn't pull it, don't have accounts over here, or the people over here don't know people from China, because we welcome people here in open arms. And what exactly, I'm on a rant here, I know, but what exactly...
No, you're rolling. Yeah, I'm not going to stop you.
But what exactly, I mean, you're in the education area. How many pieces of this puzzle are there together? We got a president now ragging on China. They're the worst people on earth. I'm going to say that the people at the University of Illinois are taking Chinese kids ahead of our kids because they're paying more. Now, are you going to say these people can't come here? I mean, where are we going with this? We don't seem to have any sort of overarching plan. We don't mind if Chinese people come here with money, because if they have 10 jobs they create here with their cash, they get their citizenship for them and their family in like a year or two. I mean, there's a million pieces to this puzzle. And when we keep pulling out one, are these guys asses? Are they doing this to us? I mean, what are we really doing? I mean, I just, it bothers me, as you can tell.
Yeah, I would like to know that there's a grand plan, and that when we do things, when we take policy positions, I would like to know how they fit into the grand plan. It's been a long time since I really had felt like we had leadership that.
I'm going to ask you, when was the last time? When was the last time you've actually voted for somebody on a presidential level?
Well, it's not a perfect comparison, because the actions didn't always jibe with the words, but I think you had an idea with Reagan, what his vision of the country was, and that he generally tried to move in that direction.
I would agree. I actually really liked Jerry Ford. And I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah, he's just a guy who history should treat kindly, because he was in an impossible situation,
right?
For a lot of reasons, not just Nixon, and he kept
Spiro Agnew too,
and probably yeah. I think history gives him a much fairer shake than we did at the time, because he was just too associated with an incredibly corrupt administration.
Well, except he really wasn't. I mean,
I understand.
Yeah.
That he was associated with it,
right? But I think as a president,
in the public's mind, he was part of it, and pardoning Nixon made him all the more part
right,
of it. And
right.
We hadn't gotten over that yet, and so the pardon was just pulling the scab. There was a lot going on at the time, but the fact is he had a horrible economy that got thrust on him. He had a horrible political situation, and on balance, as you look back, he did a good job, and probably would have done a reasonably good job had he been elected again.
Well, that whole slew of people. When you think about it, all the way through Reagan, the only thing good that happened to Reagan was that somehow they ran somebody really bad at him his second term, because if he'd have been a one-termer guy, he'd have been considered a blithering idiot too. Because this all had to do with the going off the gold standard in the 60s, late 60s, not caring about inflation. Just running up, we wanted more dollars so we could pay off the Vietnam debt. And all that came home to roost through all those people. It started with Nixon and then Ford. And then after that, Jimmy Carter caught the brunt of it. And actually, most of the worst statistics, were in Reagan's first term. And with the recession, everything all hit like the last 6 months of Carter's term, all the way through Reagan's term. I mean, and the world was not a good place. Interest, and then they got Paul Volcker doing his thing, and he put us in way more of a recession than I believe we ever needed to be. And I don't grade him an A like everybody else. It just all of a sudden things kind of turned around in Reagan's second term, and it would have been there if Mickey DeMope was there, because the tax cut that everybody says was a big you know producer for this stuff. It probably helped a little bit, but everybody forgets that a year later there was a huge tax increase because the receipts to government.
Yeah, but it didn't put everything back, Tom.
What?
It didn't put everything back, and there was structural change in terms of the marginal rate.
Well, what he did was
so yes, there was a tax increase that followed, but it wasn't an increase back to the old rates.
What happened was, and they're going to do it again, Kevin. I mean, I honestly believe they're going to do it again. Plus, there's a big difference between dropping.
No, we already did it, Tom. It's called tariffs.
Yes, you're right. No, the Chinese are paying for those. Well, we dropped the rate from 70 to 50. Then it went from 50 to 35. To go from 35 to 25 or 21, at that point, I don't know if you get anywhere. I mean, clearly, if you're going to build a building or do a project.
Yeah, but we didn't drop the rate from 50. The marginal tax rates were in the 70s.
And Reagan would drop them from 70 to 50. I know this.
Okay. Yeah, I'm rolling with you.
But the issue the year later is you're right. Instead of bringing those back up, they also dropped a lot of the deductions though too, because everything was deductible when it was at 7.
Oh yeah. So consumer loan interest,
yeah.
Credit card interest, all those kinds of things.
But what happened to the next longer deductible? But here's the issue. The point I'm trying to make. I don't know if it's the issue, is that the taxes that went on a year later, I think were very sinister, Kevin, because they were payroll taxes, they were Social Security taxes, they were those kinds of things. They were very regressive versus the other ones being progressive. In other words, you didn't increase the taxes back on the people who you decreased them for. And now this time, when the government finds out there are $1 trillion in the hole this year, they probably already know, we're also going to have a huge tax increase, no matter who's president, 2 years from now. But it's not going to be back to the same people who got the cut this time, the firms that got to bring the money back from overseas and those kinds of things. It's going to be Social Security tax. There'll be a whopper increase in the gas tax on top of all the state stuff. It's going to be a very, whatever you want to call it, a regressive tax hike. There'll probably be a Medicare. It'll be all that stuff that affects, that all the stuff that people on TV say people don't pay taxes on, those people are going to get hit.
All right. Well, we'll see how that shakes out. I'm going to go back to just the comment I made. It wasn't a throwaway that we already did raise taxes with the with tariffs.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what form they take. Either way, it's taking money out of the economy.
Yes, but it constantly
and it's just a matter of which behavior are we going to tax.
I'm going to push back on that here, Kevin, because I wish I knew more for a lot of reasons. You know what we need here today for a lot of reasons is our buddy Bob. Because I honestly don't know how the tax works in all these other countries. I think when your income tax, when they say look at your income tax in Germany, I think the income tax is a lot higher than here, but I don't know that there are property and sales and all the other taxes. I mean, here we have four specific groups of
taxes.
Well,
it depends, country by country. How many have value-added taxes?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's, like I said, I don't know this stuff. Where's Bob when we need him, which we need him all the time? But, what I'm saying is that there are, when you listen to people talk about taxes here, again, it's not me being, I think you need to talk about the whole subject. There's income taxes that one group of people pay. There's payroll taxes, which everybody pays. There's local taxes, which everybody pays to some extent, and then there's state taxes, which is totally across the, and some are high property, some are high income. They're all over the place. So when you say a tariff on China, I'm going to say that impacts the person who's buying the cheaper clothes the cheaper, all athletic shoes, I guess, and is buying the stuff at IKEA. The kid who's going to school and is buying his crap at IKEA that's all made in China. On a percentage level, I don't think it hits the people at the Kennedy compound anywhere near as much as it does the guy shopping at IKEA for his kid going back to school. I mean, every one of these things has a target area. Right, not that the president is saying I want to screw those people versus these people. I'm just saying they all do, Kevin. Whatever you do, there's one group that's affected more than another. You can't ever not do that.
No argument there. But either way, I guess that's what I'm getting at is it's there's a behavior that's being taxed. In this case with tariffs, it's the behavior is buying things that were produced in China.
Okay, but now we have.
Now you can start to stratify that by who's affected the most. That's fine. All I'm saying is, you know, we have raised taxes, and it's been a substantial increase. You know, how substantial? I don't know. I don't know that that my bills for anything in particular have gone up that much. But on a macro level, how many people buy something that was produced in China?
But all the federal government has to do, Kevin, is there's this balance of who pays for what, right? That I don't. I mean, that's where a Richard Daley or somebody who really knows or people don't like him anymore. The guy who's the alderman that just got indicted. Those guys know.
I wonder why they don't like him.
But I'm saying that's their, they've loved them forever. The guy in the South Side. I don't think it was Eddie Burke. But I'm going to say if Eddie Burke was here, he could, for 4 hours, we could be on the air and he could regale us with who pays what, if there's a bridge, how much money is coming from the government, how much from the state. I mean, there's a complexity here that I don't begin to understand. Brendan probably has a fair shot at it. But when you talk about, when some of the Republican administrations are more guilty of this, I think, guilty or right, if you believe what they're doing, when you say, we're cutting back on our Medicaid stuff, or we can't get an infrastructure bill through, which, by the way, neither president seems to have been able to have done. Obama had something going his first term. If you don't do that.
Yeah, had the stimulus, except that it turned out shovel ready wasn't what we thought it
right,
was.
Right, but my point is at a federal government level, if you just withhold that, and I'm no fan of Pritzker's, but if I'm the governor of the state of Illinois, I'm going, well, that's interesting. They just withheld this money that we thought we were going to get for these 12 bridges, but guess what? The suckers are still falling down. We need to increase our tax. I mean, I'm not saying that our people here are correct and doing government the right way. I would never say that. But just in theory, if you and I were running Illinois properly and we had a balanced budget and we thought $8 billion are coming from the federal government for these 20 bridges, and out of the 20, seven of them I won't say in danger of falling down, but need work like pretty quick. They're not just cosmetic. Not just wouldn't it be nice to have a new one? I mean, they really need work. Well, what's going to happen? We're going to end up having to raise the gas taxes here or something to pay for them. And whenever the federal government withholds some Medicaid, you can assume that somewhere in the next 2 years, every state is going to have to raise taxes to pay for it. Because it's not coming from there. It's coming
from
somewhere.
What has the federal government withheld from Medicaid?
The talk is always doing that. And I think they did. Some programs they weren't paying. My point is, Kevin, is the tax issue is so complex. You don't have to raise tax on a federal level. You can just push some of the crap back to the states. Right?
That's a tax increase, too, because all it just means is...
You
know what? I'm fine with that, actually, in concept.
Well, except that...
Because that pushes the taxation and the responsibility for spending closer to the voter and has a better chance to subject it to scrutiny. So I'm all for it.
Yeah, except if the number turns out to be zero, whatever. I mean, you've got an issue. I'm saying is, unless you understand, like maybe Eddie Burke would, the differences between all these different areas, there's a big difference between if the federal government raises the corporate income tax rate 1%, and they say, screw it, we're lowering it 1%, and we're cutting out these programs for the state, and all of a sudden, the sales tax goes up 1% where I live, well, there's a whole different group of people, class of people, paying most of that than the 1% corporate rate. I mean, it's, you definitely are moving the shells around, Kevin. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying different people pay no matter what you do.
Yes.
And, you know, I would like to think that people would sit down and say, even on the educational stuff, if it takes, you know, we only got a couple seconds here, but we'll talk about this tomorrow, Kevin, because you come back on tomorrow, but I think there should be a sharing of the educational stuff. Some states are just poorer. That doesn't mean you don't want the kids there learning. I mean,
I agree. We can, we can talk about that.
SP Futures now only up 50 cents. NASDAQ Futures up 10.50. We'll be right back, Mr. Ferry Hamzy.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we're also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
something happening here.
Hello, North Bay Section Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. It's Matt Werber on the board. We have Mr. Jack Silverman helping him out. SP Futures now down 750. We had a big turn here. NASDAQ Futures down 15. Only stock in the Dow doing really much is Disney, which came out with earnings last night. They're down almost $6, 587, trading 136. We have obviously all kinds of economic news the last few days. Just to kind of summarize it a little bit, we started out last Wednesday with the Fed cut was not considered when the the cut was okay, I guess, but then when the Fed Chairman Jay Powell came out and said it might be one and done, that was not exactly felt that warmly by the market. So we went down, but and the next day we were down, but then we came back. And Trump came out and said, well, he was going to put more tariffs on China, which was actually okay because we came back a little bit that day. But then China retaliated, and that came flying all the way back. So we've had this up and down, up and down. And now, yesterday, China said they were not going to do any sort of a more move to lower the price of the yuan. But now then they came out and said we're going to peg it at 6999, which is higher than people want them to peg it. So now we're kind of in the middle of the road on that one. But so it's been very difficult to trade, really. And it's I mean, some people were obviously very afraid the other day. You know, when the market was down 700 points, at one point it was down 900, and then we were down really almost 75 more points at night before we bounced back on the tweet that they said they were going to stop manipulating. But it's huge. I mean, I keep accusing people of this way. I'm not really accusing people of trading ahead of this stuff, but what I am saying is the way the news is coming back and forth is that there are massive opportunities to trade if people can somehow get in the middle of this stuff. And I think it's unnerving for people, but I also think there's way too many people that say, don't worry, every dip is just a buy. Now, for us, with the Protect Index program, we were fine because actually when it was down, we rolled some puts down, so actually we benefited from the bounce back up. But it wasn't like, you know, I had people's money sitting here in cash and then said, well, wow, this thing's down. I know it's going to come back up because I don't know that. And by the way, neither does anybody else on TV, and I got news for you, neither do you. Nobody ever knows. I mean, when the lightning gong goes out at the golf course, you probably can stay on the course. You probably got a 99% chance of not getting whacked in the head by some lightning, but the fact is it could happen. We could go down lower. I mean, there's stuff happening. There's always stuff happening in the world that you never know the intensity of it until something bad happens. I mean, we have a couple of banks in China that I was reading about this weekend. One has already gone under, and the state is propping it up, and there's another one wobbling. Deutsche Bank's a little bit of a problem. There's issues all over the place. Now, if you zero in on only bad news, you're never in the market. You never can get in part of a good company. You can never get a dividend. You can never see your portfolio go up. But at the same time, all this stuff you can't just ignore either. Now, the middle ground there, the hardest part to do is to ignore all the stuff until something really bad happens and be smart enough to figure out this one's different. And that's, to say that that's hard to do is an understatement. Because I've never, you know, a few times I've been absolutely positive that the market was going to turn the other way. I have been right, but I've also been early. I mean, way early. I was early in August of 82. I thought that was going to happen 6 months before. So I was long for 6 months and then went nowhere. I had a feeling gold with the central banks doing what they were doing recently, which anybody listens to me realize I talk about. Okay. I was 2 years early on that one. So it's almost like I need, whenever I get an idea, I need to, have somebody, hang me from a hook in a room for a while and until it goes through. So many of you end up being early on these things. And, kind of a little story way back when we first opened PTI, we had this fairly incredible client, quite a character. I was a massive developer. He was from Columbus, Indiana. He had been a, navigator and a B-24, I think. Got shot down POW for a while. I think it was near the end of the war, so I don't think he was there too long, but
one day would be too long, I think, for most people. And he, back in those days, there was something called a future source. I don't even know if they're around anymore. But you could essentially program, in those days, having four screens was, you know, pretty off the chart. We're talking 1991. And he had been a broker in Columbus, Indiana in like 1954. So he knew the business. He was a futures guy. And he used to tell me, and he ended up moving to Bermuda or something, and we kind of lost track, unfortunately, because he taught me some of it, but not all of it. And I would never hold myself out as a technical guy. But he'd actually take every single commodity. And the S&P was the toughest one to model, by the way. But he would take every single commodity. He'd have corn, he'd have wheat, he'd have pork bellies, he'd have whatever it was, live cattle. And he'd have four different technical ways of doing it. He had the Fibonacci. I think Joe Granville actually had a system. Anyway, he had four systems going in the same place. And he would have them all on a different screen. And once in a while, all four of them would match up, and they'd say, well, it's a buyer, it's a sell. And he would essentially jump in. But he says to me, I'm not getting anywhere. I did this for a whole year, and I'm basically break even. Because whenever you go on the futures side, he didn't know anything about options. And then there weren't options on the futures, on every future in those days either. So he almost couldn't have. But 1991, there was options on enough, but he didn't know anything about options. So when I say that, he couldn't go in with a limited risk. So when you go in with a currency trade or a futures trade, the way people limit their risk, and it's not really a great way to do it, is to put in a stop. But you can go in and say, I want to buy corn at, you know, $4 a bushel. I'll buy 10,000 corn, which is two contracts. There's 5,000 bushels in. You can say, I want to buy 10,000 corn at $4, and I'll put a stop in at $3.95. Well, the problem with that is if it opens up the next day at $3.70, you're not filled at $3.95, you're filled at $3.70. But so stops, you know, can be problematic. However, so he says to me, you know what I did, because he was pretty good at math. He goes, what I did was I realized I was early all the time. So I started to track every one of my trades and where the moves were. And he used the time, which was relatively new. Not that new, because I guess I had it in college. But he used regression analysis to try and study every single one. And he found that virtually every commodity had its own delay factor. Some a couple of days, some a few days. I think his longest one he had was, this is going back away, so don't use this. Live cattle was like 2 weeks. So if he actually saw the trade and then waited based on what his analysis told him, he all of a sudden he started doing like really, really well. Because he was actually, and I wish I had that sort of a delay on what I do, because I'm usually, like I say, usually right. When I say right, I mean the market would be way high and you say it's going to have a sell-off. Yeah, you're probably right. There's going to be some connection somewhere. Or if it's really beaten up, you're going to say one of these days, you know, somebody's going to start buying this stuff, and the answer is usually yes. I'll tell you where I've been totally wrong is nobody else says this on the air that they're totally wrong. I am astounded by the length of time we've had low interest rates. I never thought the Fed would be talking 1.5%. You know, what are we at, 10 years after the 2009 fiasco? I thought we'd be, quote, back to normal at some point, and that would be the trade of the decade, that you'd want to sell bonds, and they're going to go from 120 to 95, and things will be back to normal. Well, we've got a couple of little fakes that way, but if you didn't turn it right around after 2 or 3 days, then that trade is still out there. You know, maybe I'll be right this decade. You know, not exactly sure, but, you know, it's one of those things on timing, because, and then there's individual stocks. I mean, but we have a lot of issues right now with various industries. I mean, I spent a lot of time my day. I mean, most people know that I like to put people in ETFs that are very liquid. Your Russells, your QQQs, your Spiders, your XLEs. I don't like the ones that don't trade very much, or the options don't trade very much. So I try and keep the liquidity is one of the problems my people have. I try and keep that out of the mix as best I can. But I still keep an eye on it, because I have a lot of clients that have different stocks. A lot of days when the market goes up, not like the other day when the market was down 900 points, there was nobody. There wasn't a red mark on my page except for gold in the VIX. So it's hard to say you're picking winners in a day like that. But you look around with these tariffs in some of these industries, The steel industry is getting crushed. We're supposed to be protecting them. They've gone the wrong way. We've got other industries that have, anybody who services them is in bad shape. All the coal miners, all those people, even metallurgical coal. So there are all kinds of spots within the market that have gone up and down dramatically in the last few years. Some areas have not. I mean, if you look at I would always say that one of the biggest bellwether stocks, if you ask me to name one of the biggest bellwether stocks, I would say 3M. And yet 3M absolutely cannot get out of its own way. I'm looking at the chart right here, and the stock was $220 last April. And it went down to 160, went back up to 185 a few weeks ago, and now we're back down to 162. So it's a, I mean, you can absolutely, everybody thinks that they deserve a, quote, market return, but some of the best stocks around aren't going anywhere. You could be in the oil, you could be in the oil picture. You could be in Schlumberger. Stock is $35. I mean, the oil area is going nowhere. Maybe I'm talking about areas within the markets that, even though the average have gone back to new highs, and people, a lot of my clients, to be frank, you know, are demanding, like, why, well, the market's up 20%, why aren't I? Well, do you want to be an Apple, or do you want to be an Amazon? Well, hell no. Well,
better fork up some dough.
Yeah, well, not only that, but the one thing that makes me always frightened about the market, man, is whenever the moves up get narrower and narrower, and it's only a few stacks making the moves, then I start to get worried, because people are complaining, what about my stacks? And I'm like, well, because I was just talking about various parts of the market that you would think would be bellwethers. In an oil boom, you never would. If I would have told you 2 years ago we would have an oil boom in this country like we've never seen, and that Schlumberger, the biggest supplier to the oil industry, was going to be cut by half, you'd say, well, how does that work?
Right.
I mean, 3M, which has a massive amount of industrial and really individual uses. How many products does 3M have? Like 90 bazillion? How could that thing go from 220 to 160 in an economy that's allegedly doing well? So you can point wherever you want to point and then find things that are plus or minus. And I'm really kind of surprised, Manny, is how sports manages to hang in there and people somehow, you know, put up with the $12 beer and the whatever. I mean, they don't seem to be able, they're not missing a trick. My guess is the people who have the season tickets are splitting them up with more and more people to where people are going to less and less games, and they just must figure it's the one day out or something.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And then for the rest of us that don't have season tickets, you know, 15 years ago, I used to go to 12, 15 games a year. I know you used to go to a lot more games, obviously, when you had your tickets.
I was about a 25 a year guy.
Yeah, and granted, it was a lot cheaper then. Tickets were cheaper, beer was cheaper, everything was cheaper. But now I go to maybe 3-4 games a year. Sunday was my third. And to your point, it's kind of a night out. You know you're going to spend a little money. But what I typically do, or the group I'm with, what we typically do is we get a slice of pizza at D'Agostino's on Southport and Addison on the way to the game. We'll have a couple beers at one of the bars outside for $6 instead of $12. And then we'll go in there and we'll have a couple beers at the game, but instead of spending, you know, $100-$150 at the game, we're only going to spend $40 or $50. We still get our day out, but, you know, you cut back a little bit while you're actually in the stadium. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing.
Well, you have...
Otherwise, it's a $500 day if you got a group of, you know, 3 or 4 people.
You just wonder, I mean, hell, you know my background. What was the song? As I Walk Along, I Wonder. You wonder how certain areas, when you kick out the CPI calculator, and when Big Dan first got our tickets upstairs, and I split with him, I'm going to say it was 1981-ish. Now, the first year I got him was 83, because maybe it was 82. It was 82, because they just hired, what's his name? Dallas Green. And they met one of the guys. He was a former coach at Mount Carmel in Michigan, and now became the ticket manager. I forget the guy's name. He actually, on the trading floor, they handed out, like, leaflets. We were still on the old floor. We were on a new floor. To come on over to Berghoff's in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And beers were on the Cubs. And they had, up until that point, the upper deck had been closed except for weekends.
Did you get a bratwurst while you were there?
Oh, yeah. They had free, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, I won't say free because they're not buying tickets. But yeah.
Good food.
Included. Yeah. Oh, yeah, got you. Brigoff was the best. Plus, I love their dark beer.
Still a good place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll go there maybe once a summer for lunch. I'll go there with some coworkers.
Well, the dark beer is still the best.
Yeah, it's good.
And so you sit down and they had so Big Dan had the weekend and holiday package. You got opening day, weekends, and holidays. It's the only time the upper deck was open.
And now the Cubs don't have any packages.
Right, there's no pay. So the guy said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the upper deck. I think they just opened them up for the... We're going to have 15 of these 305 games. Do you want to buy 305 seats? And I go, well, sure. And I said, I'd like first or upper deck. And he goes, on the aisle. And he goes, I can't give you... Do you want? If you want on the aisle, you got to have second row. So which would you pick? First row in the middle or second row on the aisle?
What would I pick?
Yeah.
I would pick first row.
In the middle?
Yeah.
Actually,
I don't know. That's a good... Second row on the aisle is pretty damn good.
I went with the second row on
the
aisle.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I might take second row aisle just because of the access to in and out, to go grab a beer, go to the bathroom, whatever. Yeah, I think I'm with you. The only thing I liked about the first row is you can kind of put your feet up, you can set your beer down.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and then obviously there's no one in front of you.
So I had second row, and Dan had first row on the aisle. He had a better section. He was one over. So then like a year or two later, they said, okay, look, we're actually going to have the upper deck open all the time. So, you know, you got a fish or cut bait. So Dan says, I can't go with all these. And I said, I'll tell you what, why don't I dump my 305s and I'll go halvesies with you on the full season. But I'm going to say his first year, I forget what mine were. Of course, Dan keeps all these records. I don't. His first year in like 81, I think he was $3.50 a ticket. Now, if you throw that in, and then the beers were, God knows what, buck and a half maybe. But if you throw that in the, it reminds me of like medical care. It reminds me of college education. You throw it in the CPI calculator, the ticket should be 20, and it's like 75. It's not even close. And yet, it'd be okay if you put Matty Weber's dad's salary in 1981, and you say he's making 20 grand, and now he's making 80 or 90, but he's not at the same job. So one has in certain areas, stuff has rocketed up way faster than anybody's ability to pay. In other areas, not so much. Now, why sports becomes that much of a, you know, why, I mean, the Blackhawk, I mean, now, a lot of things have changed. My buddy Marty Israel was at the game, and actually Greg went, opening day, and they're sitting next to the guy who was the executive for Oakland. He was a friend of Marty's. And he said that now something like 70% of all the seats in most of the stadiums, Cubs might be different because they have their people that have been there for a while, at least on the upper deck. 65-70% of the seats, the people in there do not buy the ticket. There's somebody's season ticket, some corporation, and they give it. They're given to them.
Right.
Now I don't know how bad did the Cubs bleep the guys up on the upper deck with the. I heard they just sent them a bill saying if you want those seats, they're $40,000 in that tent. That section up top where they booted those people in the room. Like two sections over from me now, those became those high-end seats with the buffet and everything. I think they just screwed those people. I don't think they gave them, I don't think they might have offered them someplace in the bleacher, but they're nowhere near those seats that they had. Those are some of the best seats in the park. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about as far as the Catalina Club that they built, and I know that it angered some fans, but I haven't heard any specifics on that. I remember reading a couple of articles.
Well, where were they going to put them?
Yeah, so I just found an article from April 9th of 2019 from the Tribune, so I'm going to have to read through this to get some of the details.
But, I mean...
let's see here. Devoted Cubs fan Gary Dupuis spent 15 years watching the home opener from the upper deck at Wrigley. This year he received a picture of his seat still empty after three innings while he was at work. There are people in the world with much bigger problems than this, but it's a bittersweet day for me. Dupuis, or whatever his name is, was among the season ticket holders priced out of the upper deck with the arrival of the Catalina Club, a new premium suite. Dupuis said his four tickets were set to jump from $18,000 to $106,000.
Yeah.
With the average ticket price per game going from $60 to $325. They took the most loyal fans who had given them the most money, who had endured seasons like 300 losses in 3 years, and they just decided that they're going to go for the revenue rather than to recognize the loyalty and devotion. He gave up his season tickets rather than be moved to another section. So
we had a chance to go to someplace.
Yeah. So he got off. I'm trying to see.
But there seems to be no amount of abuse. Thank you, sir. May I have another. That they, Dan Paul, went, he took his kid there 2 weeks ago when the day was like 90 some degrees a Sunday. He goes, they got this thing where the kids get autographs, so they're there at like 10 o'clock in the morning buying stuff. So the kid goes out at 11. The ball players are supposed to come out at 12. They're standing on the field for an hour. No players came out, and then they said it was too hot for the players to come out. And Dan says, why couldn't you have told us that an hour ago? We've been standing out here, we're roasting.
Yeah.
Well, why? The player just decided to. They brought out the mascot or something, and he started signing autographs. Dan says, why couldn't you guys have told me? He goes, there's absolutely, boy, talk about the people are just chattel. I mean, you're just the rabble. We don't care about you at all. I mean, it reaches that stage, and yet people put up with it. I don't know why.
Well, not all people. This guy gave up his tickets. You gave up yours.
Well, I mean, this guy probably, I don't think he could write the $106,000 check.
No, I don't think so. I had bowl season tickets for 2 years, as you know, split with two of my buddies, and so they're actually pretty reasonable. Now, granted, we were in the nosebleeds, it was such a pain in the ass to sell, and this is just 41 home games, not 81, and then divided by three, plus the preseason games, it was 15 games a guy, all in. And, I would go to like one game, and I would sell the rest. And you could easily sell the LeBron game or the Lakers game or something like that. But other than that, it was really difficult to sell the tickets, and it became a part-time job just getting rid of your tickets. And so I was like, there was no gain for me to do that.
Well, you are Larry here used to have 8 tickets to the Sox. And matter of fact, Tom Ricketts came and spoke at the Security Traders Association when he first took over the Cubs, and the team was lousy. And I said, hey, Russell, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I thought you gave the first half hour to Fari, so I didn't call in. I apologize. I was listening to you guys gripe about tickets.
That was my fault, Russell. I had the day running, so we screwed up the time.
It happens. I'm here. Let's gripe about tickets.
Well, no, we're talking about the economics of sporting events and how they've totally outstripped the median income and how... And so far, I mean, they seem to get away with it. And it's pretty amazing that you see these pockets in the economy, Russell, because I was talking about this because I was supposed to be having this Professor Russell with me, but now he's with me. I mean, it is amazing that they've totally outstripped I was talking about when Dan first got his 1981 upper deck seats, they were $350. And I'm going to say the median income was probably, $31. And now it's 36. The tickets have gone to, like 70-ish. And you really wonder, is there any limit? I almost look at it, it's like drugs. I mean, when you go to the Bear game, somebody went last year and, the day that it was 90-some degrees, like the third game, Maddie, or something, was brutally hot. And, they had a big tub of water they were selling people. And you could tell they just bought them at Sam's. They were the Sam's brand.
Oh, just bought a bunch of the bottles and they were
If you go to Sam's, there's the little one that's a dime. There's a little bigger one that's 15 cents. And if you really want to pay up, you get the big one with the nipple on the top that you can use while you're jogging and not spill all over the place. They were selling those. They're like 20 cents a bottle. And then they were selling
them. 20 cents a bottle if you buy them in bulk.
I'm sure these people did.
Yeah. Well, I know that, but when you're buying them at the ballpark, you're not buying them in bulk, you're buying one at a time.
I think they were $7.50 or something. I mean, there's got to be
some huge markup.
I mean, there's got to be some number, especially when the citizens paid for half the place.
Pro sports is the best place to be. It might be topping out right now, but as far as being an owner of one of those places, the return or a part owner even of a team, they just continue to go up in a ridiculous pace. But you know what's going to happen? We're going to hit a recession. And one of the first things people are going to cut and businesses are going to cut is the tickets.
Well, they didn't cut them this year. Yeah,
I mean, because it's really a discretionary expense. And my former employer got rid of their Cub tickets.
Really?
Yeah.
They have tickets on Skybar.
They had a lot of problems with VIX. They let a lot of people go, and they got rid of their Cub tickets as well. And their Cub, you know, they used to have the SIBO seats right behind home plate. They're not there anymore.
Well, they had the auction going and everything for the tickets.
I know. They gave all that stuff up. They actually had Royals tickets as well because of the Bats acquisition, and those are gone.
Wow.
And their Royals tickets were really kind of a cool deal because they also got the billboard right behind home plate.
Really?
And hey, Russell, if a company lists... But I know you got a job.
Hold that thought, buddy. Luckbox Magazine, the Guide to Money and Probability, is available on newsstands at $79 per issue. Stocks and Jacks listeners receive a free digital subscription. Luckboxmagazine.com/Jacks. The new magazine's got a neat cover. SP Futures now down 925. NASDAQ Futures down 16. Pretty big turnaround since the beginning of the show. I'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everybody. It's Tyson Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. Mr. Russell Rhodes, Professor Russell Rhodes. He's Mr. Matt Weber. Helped me out in studio. We got Jack Silverman on the board. Jack's last week. I'm really going to miss him. And SP Futures down 13 now. It was up 9 when we came in. That's a turn. NASDAQ Futures down 29. Dow Futures down 132.
We're going to miss Jack for his different Indiana University sweatshirts every day.
That's right.
He's got a closet full of them.
It's like he's got the hockey jerseys with the Cubs or the Hawks in about 15 different colors. For
IU in white, red, black, everything in
between. The one he's got today, the navy and red's nice.
Although he said he's not too excited about the football program.
How could you be?
I know.
I mean, it's not that I'm not excited. It's just they don't give you much to like root about. They don't really give you much excitement.
Six and six doesn't excite you.
I love your stadium. Great seats.
It is a nice stadium.
I've never been to that stadium, actually.
Can you still bring a cooler in with beers in it?
Not that I know of.
I got a quick story after the traffic weather sports. Dax up. Well, I got the Dax up 148, 1%. Footsie up 59.8. Cacaron up 73. These guys all, for some reason they are up. We are not. Nikkei down 68.3%. Shanghai down 8. Call that flat. Hang Seng up 20. Call that flat. Oil down 33 cents, 53.30. Big news of the day, gold over $1,500, up $21. The obvious trade for 3 years is finally happening, Matty, after I was long this stuff for 2.5 years, didn't go anywhere. Silver up 50 cents, $16.94. I'll bet I've had the 15 calls in the last 3 years, 15 different times it went out worthless. Now the sucker's almost $17. It's not like I'm bitter, just a tad bitter. What's causing a lot of this, 10-year yield, 1.64, down another 0.09%. Man, that is like really low. German, down 0.58. That's as low as I've seen that. Japanese, that's a minus 0.58. Japan, minus 0.19. That is brutal. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a couple of issues to report in the Chicagoland area. Eisenhower outbound at 17th Avenue, we have a crash that's causing delays as you're heading out to the western suburbs, so keep that in mind on I-290. Heading over to the south side, that earlier crash on the Dan Ryan inbound express lanes at 63rd Street is all clear, so that's good news. No issues to report on the Bishop Ford or I-57. Coles Avenue between 81st and 80th Street is closed due to police activity. Apparently, there was a shooting involving an off-duty CPD officer on the southeast side, and that has that area closed. Northside expressways looking normal out there. No issues coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Normal traffic times there. Same with Lakeshore Drive in both directions. Suburban tollways are all quiet as well. Off the expressways, looks like we're looking pretty good. No major issues to report. Weather today, lots of sunshine. We warm up a little bit and add some humidity as well. Warmer than yesterday anyway, a high of 88 degrees with lots of sunshine. Right now it's crystal clear and 71 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy skies with a high of 105 today. Right now it's mostly clear and 90. In sports, Cubs were blown out at home by the A's last night, 11-4. They'll play the rubber match this afternoon at Wrigley Field, 121st pitch with Jose Quintana on the mound. Brandon Kinsler went to the injured list. Pedro Strop is reactivated. White Sox split a day-night doubleheader in Detroit, winning Game 1 5-3 and then losing the nightcap 10-6. Diamondbacks doubled up the Phillies 8-4. Chief.
They finally traded the one guy, huh, that was back and forth and had all that talent. The kind of skinny dude.
You're going to have to give me more than that. What team are you talking
Cubs.
About? The Cubs traded the skinny dude.
They had the huge fastball and slider and walk guys, and then he was back and forth to AAA this year.
I think you're talking about Carl Edwards Jr.
Oh, Carl Edwards Jr., yeah, they traded him.
I'll bet that guy's a star someplace somewhere.
He's got all the stuff, and he was great with the Cubs for 3 years. I mean, you're talking about a guy that got 2 of the last 3 outs in the World Series, Game 7. Big-time, high-leverage, 8th-inning guy, and then he really lost his confidence, and then he had some injury issues, lost some velocity, and he just could never get it back. And I think I agree with you. I think a change of scenery could turn him right back into a big-time 8th-inning or even closer type guy.
I hope so. He seemed like a decent enough sort.
I agree.
Russell, what do you... Were you using your real name, so I can't really ask you this question directly.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be nice. Are the Chinese trading these news items? I won't say our guys.
Oh, of course they're trading these news items. I want to say one thing about tickets first, and then I'll talk about the Chinese. Right. Okay?
Yep.
Okay. I just want you to know that on Saturday, September 7th, you can get tickets to go see the Eastern Illinois Panthers visit the Indiana Hoosiers in Bloomington for $13.
Yeah, baby.
There's no inflation for the University of Indiana football team.
We were down there when I was in school.
My future in-laws, Chief, Jill's parents, both are Eastern Illinois graduates. So maybe that could be like a Christmas present.
Road trip.
It'd be cheap.
Well, even better, you can go to the Indiana-Maryland game at College Park, Maryland for $6.
Wow.
That's Big Ten football for $6, folks.
Somehow or another, a whole bunch of us from Notre Dame, some of the guys were from Indianapolis. Of course, they knew everybody down there. Matter of fact, everybody from, I think the school was Catholic Central. It was the school they all went to. So there's a Catholic church, you know, old wooden Catholic church with a big thing on the back. And the people who went from this school down there, they essentially had probably 15 rooms, you know, essentially dorm rooms behind the church, where these guys stayed. And it was their dorm. And everybody had a job. Everybody had to clean the pews on Tuesday, and somebody else had to sweep the place, whatever, cut the grass. So you had a little job, and you essentially got your room and board for free because they wanted to make sure there was a spot for Catholic kids down there and so forth. So a bunch of us are down there, and we decided we're going to the football game. Of course, nobody's got any tickets. But you could bring in coolers. So, of course, we got two coolers loaded up. And we find one ticket. So there's like eight of us. We get half tickets. So the guy in the back has got the one regular ticket and the five half tickets, or eight half tickets. We all walk in, guy in back. The guy in the back throws away the half tickets and gives us the one ticket. Well, of course, now we're in the stands somewhere. And with our coolers, the place is half full. To show you how long ago this was, Quinn Buckner was playing.
That dates you a little bit.
Yeah, it dates me a little bit. He's got to be the last guy to play start both ways in the Big Ten, isn't he? I mean, the guy's played some basketball, but he actually started on both teams.
It doesn't happen that often. Julius Peppers did it with North Carolina.
Right.
I mean, which is amazing to be that good where you could start on North Carolina's basketball team and be a Hall of Fame football player. But, yeah, that's the last one I can think of. I'm sure there's been others, but not many.
Well, there were a couple of guys the year that Notre Dame had no players, my sophomore year. A couple of guys, Mike and Willie Townsend.
They both started on the basketball team?
Well, they did because they had anybody else.
Yeah.
But Willie did. I mean, they had nobody. I mean, they probably had five scholarship athletes.
Yeah, you see it every once in a while where, you know, injuries or sometimes it's recruiting violations or something, and they lose a few scholarships on the basketball team, and they pull just some athletes from the football team that you can tell are big-time Division I athletes that if they focused on basketball would probably be decent players, but very rarely are they good enough to start.
Well, my freshman year, they had a terrific team with Austin Carr and those guys. So the next year, all those guys graduated. Every one of them. Sid Catlett, Carlos Jones, all those guys graduate. So the next year, they're supposed to have Sammy Puckett, some massive recruit from Hales Franciscan. In fact, he just got inducted in the Chicago Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Chicago Public School.
He shows up. Actually, Hales is Catholic.
Oh, I thought he, yeah. You're right. Yeah, sorry. It wasn't a publicly one. It was just Chicago City.
Yeah, so he shows up, gets like, is totally unclear on the concept coming out of a Catholic school, manages to like flunk out, like instantly. Jan Schumate has blood clots. He can't play. They have a couple of good freshmen. They can't play because freshmen still can't play. And one guy gets an automobile or a motorcycle accident, gets his leg cut off, so he couldn't play. Another dude joins the Peace Corps, and he leaves. So that's like the team. Maddie, I honestly say two of the guys that you play with on Thursday night, or whatever night you play, two of those guys would have started on that team. They were horrible.
I could have come in and shot threes.
Yeah, well, no, there weren't any threes.
Oh, then I'd be useless.
You know what? I went down to see the night Indiana's... Get a load of this, Jack. I was there the night Indiana's basketball arena opened, the new one that's now how many years old. And Indiana won, I think it was 94-27. That's how bad the Irish were.
Jack, do you know what year Assembly Hall opened?
No idea.
I'm going to say 1972.
Mid-60s.
No, but I was there for the first game. I was a sophomore.
It opened in 1971.
Okay. 71.
So
no, what's the difference?
It still might have been the first.
It was December 71, yeah. The sophomore year.
Yeah, it still might have been the first Indiana game, yeah.
Yeah, it was the first game in there. It was because it wasn't a Big Ten game. They opened against Notre Dame in their new arena. And we drove down to see the new arena. It's when the Irish get spanked. So then there was like two more football games. And Errol let Digger said, I got to have a couple of your guys. And he gave him Mike and Willie Townsend. So at least they had a couple of guys that could get a rebound. I mean, they were awful. But literally, they had nobody. I mean, everybody was gone. And it was like 2 years ago when the Irish girls, they had five girls at ACLs?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Russell, what... The world is now a cauldron. Even this morning, with hardly anything happening, we've got a 30-point spoon turn since we started the show. Came in, we were up 9, and now they're down 20.
Is no news good news?
Are we reaching the point?
I saw the headline yesterday that said markets rally due to no tweets from the president.
That's
it. No news is good news. If the battery dies on his iPhone, or if they take it away from him, which I think would be a good idea, buy the market.
I'm going to ask you a very serious question, which I do all the time.
Okay.
And I don't, as the listeners know, it's my job to worry for my clients, so I worry too much. Sometimes, most of the time. It seems to me, Russell, that we're starting to have people being almost desperate with some of these central banks in some of these places. I was trying to explain to some people last night, and actually on the air, I was on Joan Esposito's show the other day, and she said, well, how does going, devaluating the yuan help the Chinese? And I said, well, it's a multifaceted question. I'll just cover two of them out of the million I could. I said, if you're a guy making widgets in the middle of China where all you know is yuan, and all of a sudden you're a little more competitive, maybe competitive enough to where the tariffs aren't hurting you very much. If it's a 10% devaluation, 10% tariff, you're sort of almost back to even, same. And she goes, so that's good for them. I said, well, yeah, but except they got $3 trillion worth of dollar-denominated debt to where now the interest payment is now up 10%. So those guys aren't happy. So literally, no man can do just one thing in the international marketplace. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very difficult to figure out where these bombs land. It's like starting a war, thinking you know how that's going to go. You know, am I right or wrong? This is way more complex.
Oh yeah, I hear, the president say this is a tax on China. I hear the economists go on TV and say what we do is really a tax on the American consumer. I like your pointing out that they've got a whole ton of our debt, which suddenly lost value in their home currency pretty quickly. And this thing that they did with the currency, I thought it was actually pretty genius on their part. It's not matching us. It's almost like they're suddenly playing chess instead of checkers. And they're basically saying, okay, we're just going to let the currency go. And now fewer things that are made in the U.S. are going to get sold here, period. And there's not a whole lot you can do about it with respect to the currency part. I mean, we could try to hike tariffs again, I guess, but for some sort of offset there. But that was a great move on their part. And, you know, the bond part, it's really the government that when it comes down to it, I think it's really their government that owns the debt. So they're the one taking the blow on that one. Much like our government took on a lot of the toxic assets back in 2008, because they've got they have the capacity to handle that. So I think net out, it's probably good for the individuals in China, and they probably want to keep their people somewhat happy, because I think they have been feeling a little bit more of the brunt of this thing than we have. I can't really think of an instance where tariffs have impacted anything that I bought or anything that I do from day to day.
How would you know?
Something suddenly becomes more expensive.
Well, I'm going to guess if you are. Well, first of all,
I haven't noticed it. It's not like I've gone for it.
Let me ask you this:
noticed it,
Russell. Do you know being you are in academia and you travel all around the world and hang with your pinky up, drinking wine with the best people? Do you know what
I'm doing right now for breakfast?
Yeah. Do you know what when I say a tariff expert? I mean, you and I know something about it, but My question is, and I have no way of knowing the answer to this, when Apple swings through an iPhone from China, now, if they want to have the profit overseas, they might bring the iPhone in at, say, $700 and then sell it at $1,000. Okay, now, I got to believe that the tariff is on the transfer price, but I'm not positive. So they could, to get rid of the tariff, just bring the phone in at, say, $50.
Yeah,
but now my brother says if you do that, now all the income is in this country and you got to pay income taxes. So that's another little wrinkle that, you know, most people wouldn't think of. I don't really know when Nike brings in the latest and greatest running shoes that you and I got to pay, you know, $150 for. Is it coming in at $4, which it actually cost them in China to make, or is it coming in at $100 because you're trying to put the income over there? And who makes the determination and who polices it? I have no idea.
I really have no idea either, and I think the big companies are probably smart enough to transfer transfer the cost from one place to another.
Well, and if
you know, I mean, maybe they ship them all over here where they haven't snapped the front and the back together, and they have some people over here do that, and they say and I'm thinking about the iPhones. And they say the iPhones are not completed yet, so they're only worth $100 each. When somebody in California finishes them off and puts them in the box, now they're worth $1,000. Now they only have to, you know, the tariff is only 20% of $100 instead of 20% of,
yeah, well, that's what I'm
like
saying.
You said, $700 before.
How do you even know?
But I think because of what we're talking about right now, that the impact of the tariffs hasn't really I haven't noticed it. I had to go buy a new iPhone about 3 weeks ago, and it was just as expensive as it always was. It wasn't any worse or anything. It's just kind of the same.
I'll bet if you plop into IKEA and buy a new set of wine glasses, they're probably up 10%. You wouldn't even know it.
Probably. I mean, I've had to buy some new monitors and some things like that, but I don't think I don't think those are made in China. I think those are made in Taiwan.
Well, if you decide you want to run this, how's that for a term? Run your crap through Vietnam. So you and I.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of that.
Oh, so you and I load the ship up. Matty Weber's the captain. Now, does he have to wave at the shore when he goes by? Does he have to unload it and load it? I mean, what did you have to actually sell it to a guy in Vietnam and sell it back? I mean, what do you have to do to make it Vietnamese? I don't know.
I assume that you do a fake transfer in Vietnam and it never gets off the boat.
Okay. You got to do more. You got to do more than just wave at the shoreline, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot of everybody keeps making a big deal about the tariffs in both directions. Every time we up it, that's a bad thing, and the market sells off because on the surface you think, okay, this is a bad thing, but I don't know if cooler heads suddenly prevail and everybody's starting to believe that. This really isn't going to have any sort of impact. It's just going to be like rearranging the chairs on the ship. Everything's still kind of the same. There's still
the federal government
chairs on the deck. They're just in different places.
The federal government's up about $75 billion. That money came out of somebody's pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're clucking. They love tariffs. Trump keeps telling how much he loves them.
It doesn't feel like it's being passed on.
Some is, some isn't. I mean, the first 10% tariff, my brother Dan, still an active softball player, and I've yet to get out there this year, although I'm working on it. One of the guys owns one of the oldest, and I'm going to say one of the biggest, auto replacement glass place in the city. For years, if you hit a crack in your windshield, they'll come to your house and do it right there, so you don't have to drive and worry about getting a ticket. And, the first day, like last summer, that Trump lobbed the tariffs out there, 10%. Everybody here, there's some are made in China, some are made in a couple other places, and some are still made domestically. Every single supplier to his place upped the price exactly 10%. Though you would think that the Chinese guy might be actually eating a couple percent of it, and that the average price should go up 3 or 4 or something, where the domestic guys jump on it a little bit, because the Chinese guy is getting gagged and he's up 4% instead of using it as a time to put them out of business by keeping yours low, they roll with them because not as good a time as any to raise prices. Every single one went up 10%. So as to whether you have a broken side window in your car and it's $300 to put it in, I don't know how you would know that it used to be $270 a year ago. I mean, because mm-hmm. it's not like you buy them every day.
Right.
But I mean, I think it's there somewhere. I mean, because this $70 billion is coming from someplace.
I just have this feeling that I think the Chinese economy was already kind of teetering as it was. And if all of a sudden they're slowing down what they're sending over here, I think it might actually be hitting an individual over there greater than it hits the individual over here.
But is that...
And so by doing what the government did, their government did, letting the currency devalue, they kind of took the hit this time, and net out, it actually might be a little bit better for the individuals over there.
But there's collateral.
That's why I like that move on their part.
All right, you and I would never do this because we love each other. Suppose we get in a fight, and I break your jaw, but you make me lose two front teeth. Did I really win?
That's the mutually assured destruction.
I know, but I mean,
that would involve both of us getting off of a bar stool at the same time.
Yes.
I don't see that one happening.
No, especially if it's a nice, comfortable bar stool. But,
but
what I'm saying is we seem to have people that are in government here that think you can win this. There's people that are like losing jobs and having trouble here. Even if 2 years from now, somehow the numbers come back, those people don't come back.
Don't you think eventually there's going to be a trade deal, which when you start to dig into it, really isn't that much different, with a couple of exceptions, than what we have right now?
I'm going to bet
maybe we get the Chinese to agree to stop, copying all of our stuff and stealing our intellectual property, without any potential enforcement in there.
Well, how are we going to
so that politically somebody can say, hey, look, I won, vote for me again?
Well, what if they buy the place? Then they still don't get the intellectual property?
I guess they can buy it, but, they tried to buy somebody in our industry, and the government blocked it.
Okay, well, I'm saying...
They tried to buy the Chicago Stock Exchange. Our government can, and they were not able to, and the reason is because we didn't want to let the Chinese have the ability to tunnel into our financial system, which I think was... really a smart thing to do on our part.
Okay, no, maybe...
And anything else like that is overly sensitive, we probably will block them from buying it again.
All right, so...
We can always do that.
Now, as a matter of policy, now you can agree with me for the first time ever, which is fine. As a matter of policy, you plunk me in the Oval Office. By the way, I'd bring you and Maddie right with me to keep me sane.
Yay!
Yeah.
I want treasury.
Okay. Matty wants interior or something, so he can have his own national park.
I'll be public relations.
Yeah, he'll be PR.
I want to sign the currency, but go ahead. I know.
So I'm saying, why don't I just say, this is what the Chinese do. It's very difficult for one of our people to buy any place over there. In fact, it's impossible to get 50%. So for the next, until all this changes, no Chinese people can buy any place here for over 50%. And oh, by the way, here's a list of 200 things, airplane wings, whatever, gyroscopes, I don't know how to put here's a list of 200 things that if anybody here gets caught giving the plans to the Chinese, if this is really a war, our guys are going to jail. And oh, by the way, all the schools like the University of Illinois and all these other places that are gleefully accepting all these Chinese students instead of our own because they're paying more, get them the hell out of here. I mean, there's a lot of things, if we really cared, we would do that would be effective. The idea of forcing them to admit that they steal our stuff and then say they can't have it, even if they buy it. I mean, where are we going with that? To me, it's so illogical. If you don't want Boeing to give them the drawings to a wing, tell Boeing.
Yeah. No, that was, and that's totally Boeing's decision if that's what they choose to do. We can't really, the U.S. government shouldn't be able to block that. But if the Chinese want to buy Boeing outright, I think that's when we step in and we don't, we sure
I would
allow
agree.
That.
Okay, I would agree. Russell, talk to you next week, buddy. Or when you're in town,
absolutely.
When you're in town, give me a buzz. I could have used you last night. I had a couple of Fed guys with me. We could have used another professor. S&P Futures, you're never around. S&P Futures down 26.
I'm in New York.
In New York. NASDAQ Futures down 75. Back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.